I'm doing a series on the spiritual gifts, and one of the reasons why I'm doing a series on the spiritual gifts is because I don't want for us to be ignorant. We can be members of a Pentecostal church, we can sit here for years and yet not know the basics of what it means to be a Pentecostal. And a hallmark of a Pentecostal is that we exercise spiritual gifts and that we believe that the Holy Spirit gifts are today, that they didn't end with the apostles in the New Testament church. It wasn't 100 AD that God suddenly said to himself, right, okay, at midnight tonight, the spiritual gifts are going to stop. No more healings, no more prophecy, no more tongues, no more other gifts. They're all going to stop tonight at midnight, bong, the clock strikes 12 and they all finish. No. The Holy Spirit gifts are for today, and history shows us that the early church exercised spiritual gifts very much into the 3rd or 4th centuries, and they were sort of institutionalized out. There was so much control of the spiritual gifts that men squeezed them out. And unfortunately, the freedom and the liberty that the Holy Spirit wanted amongst the church was controlled to such an extent that he didn't have that liberty. And that's why in a smaller congregation, it's good that we can give the Holy Spirit liberty. And we can say to people, if you've got a prophetic word, share it. Now we can say, if you've got a scripture verse, now is the time to share it. And it's good to have an ear to the Holy Spirit and give freedom to that. So what I want to do in part of this series is just to enable us to be the people that exercise spiritual gifts, to sort of address some of the fears and some of the qualms that sort of perhaps prevent us from stepping out in confidence with the gifts. So there's a short preamble. Let's look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the Spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives to each of them just as he determines. Won't go over what we've already done there. But let's just move on to the classic divisions. We've got the classic division of the gift of revelation, wisdom, knowledge and discernment. Gifts of power, healing, faith and miracles, which we'll look in future weeks. Gifts of inspired speaking, prophecy, tongues and interpretation that we'll look at in about a month's time. Last week we looked at looking at the gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And we looked at how these gifts are applied today, the application of these gifts in the church today. And there were three particular areas that we looked at. We looked at three scriptures. We looked at when Samuel was going to anoint Saul as king. God had told him that he was going to anoint somebody to be the king. And when Samuel clapped eyes on Saul, God said, "This is the person that I want you to anoint." So there was a word of knowledge that said, "This is the person." And I applied that and said that in today's church, we might hear from God that we're going to speak to somebody, that God might say to you that you've got a Bible verse that you've got to share with somebody, a word of encouragement, or that you're going to witness to someone today. And when you bump into them at Morrison's with your trolley or whatever, God says, "This is the person." When you bump into them in the street, when somebody rings you up, and God says, "This is the person that I've spoken to you about, that I want you to encourage today." So God might speak to our spirit and say, "This is the person." So that Holy Spirit revelation gives us a word of knowledge. "This is the person that I want you to talk to." We also looked at it in the context of God giving us knowledge that was strategy to break a stalemate. And I used a scripture from Joshua chapter 7 when the Israelites had conquered Joshua and they were told not to take any plunder. And afterwards when Joshua and the Israelite army went against Ai, they were defeated, and Joshua entreats of God, "What's the problem?" And God's anger was burning against Israel because somebody had taken plunder from Joshua. And there was that Holy Spirit revelation where it was revealed that Achan was the man that was had taken the plunder. And so therefore, in that context, we have a revelation that breaks a stalemate. This is something that you need to repent of. This is something that is the key to a situation. Now, if you were at any of the home groups midweek, you'll have heard me say that possibly that Joshua 7 illustration scripture is not the best illustration for a word of knowledge. If you read it carefully, it might you could argue that it wasn't a word of knowledge. I'm using as my source for a lot of the material that I'm preaching here two books. One, Spiritual Gifts by Edmund Heddle, written 27 years ago. If you've heard of Clifford Hill, he's from that stable of writers. And then there's Yonggi Cho, Holy Spirit, my senior partner, pastor of the biggest church in the world. There's some other material that I draw upon from a chap called Rodney Francis, who's a New Zealand pastor, stuff that's available online. I look at other books and other pieces, but these are my main sources of the basis of what I speak. And he uses the Achan illustration. And looking at it, when I was looking through this book, and I said, well, he doesn't give Achan as an illustration. I looked at it again in the scripture and I thought, yes, it's not that good an illustration. So let me give you another one, which is 2 Kings 6:11 to 12, which is accurately a word of knowledge, I believe, because it's Elisha, the king of Aram, is being defeated by the Israelite army, and the king of Aram says to all his officers, how is it that we're always being defeated? How is it that when we move there, the Israelite army know our strategy? And it's because King Aram's officers say, Elisha, the prophet, knows the private things that King Aram says in his bedroom. So there's the word of knowledge that is strategic information against the enemy that breaks a stalemate, that brings us victory, that thwarts the enemy. So again, the application for the church is that God might give us information in a counselling situation. What's the problem, Lord? What is it that's not enabling us to move forward in this situation? Why is it that we're always hitting a brick wall? Is there something that we need to repent of? Is there something that we're not aware of that needs to be dealt with? God gives us that word of knowledge, which is the strategic information, the key that unlocks the door to moving forward. So that's the second application of the word of knowledge that we talked about last week. And thirdly, the other application of the word of knowledge that we talked about was the when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in John 4. And he says to her, I know that you've had five husbands, and the husband or the man that you're living with is not even your husband now. And we talked about that, and we said that what that does, it shows that Jesus understands. And again, God might give us today in the church a word of knowledge that shows us that we understand, that God understands. And so when we're in a counselling situation, when we're talking to somebody who is distressed, and God says, well, this person didn't have a wink's sleep last night. They spent all night last night crying in their bed, and that their pillow was wet with tears. And God gives you that information, and he says, well, you know what, Joshua? I believe that God sees how upset you are, and he saw how many tears were wept last night in bed. And he knows that you didn't sleep very well. And suddenly, that information that God has given you enables Joshua, in this illustration, he just happens to be sat here. If you were sat here, you would be the figure of illustration. It enables Joshua to see that God cares and understands. Because when God shows that he understands our deepest needs, then we can trust him. We just are reassured and comforted. So the Holy Spirit, again, builds us up, because the Holy Spirit gifts are for the common good. They are for the lifting up. So that's a quick review of what we did last week for the benefit of those that weren't here. So, we all, yes, last week we also looked at the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is needed to in our lives to enable us to share other gifts of the Spirit correctly. For example, it's one thing to receive a word of prophecy, knowledge, faith, healing, etc. But it's entirely another thing to deliver that gift in such a way as to allow it to have its fullest impact. So again, last week we were thinking about when Holy Spirit speaks to us, we need wisdom as how to deliver that gift. When the Holy Spirit gives us a word of prophecy, and we'll talk about prophecy on other occasions, we need the wisdom to how to deliver that. When God gives you a word of knowledge, and you know it's a word of knowledge that reveals a situation, and God is challenging someone regarding a certain behavior, we need to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit to how we deliver that. And wisdom is not the first gift on the list by a mistake, I don't believe. Because for all the gifts, we need wisdom. When we come to pray for somebody to be healed, we need wisdom. We need sensitivity. Sometimes we just need to be very gentle. Other times we need the wisdom of God to know that we need to be that little bit firmer. So we need God's wisdom, because sometimes if we walk into a situation and we get it wrong, we can cause offense to the Holy Spirit. We can cause offense to the person that we're trying to encourage. So wisdom is key in the operation of these Holy Spirits. How to deliver a word of encouragement, how to deliver a healing, how to deliver a prophetic word. Okay, so now let's get on to the gift that we're looking at tonight, the gift of the discerning of spirits. And perception and discernment are very closely linked. We can talk about perception and discernment almost synonymous. Synonymously. Don't ask me to say that again. We can couple these words together and use them to have the same meaning, and it might help us to understand. There is a slight difference, but we'll perhaps highlight that in a moment. Perception is to become aware of something through the senses, especially sight, to recognize or observe, to come to comprehend, to grasp. So you perceive something, you grasp something, you see something. A discernment is to recognize or perceive clearly, to recognize or perceive differences, to divide or separate. So the discernment is more of a dividing and separation, more than just a perceiving beyond that which you can see at the surface. The Greek has the idea of judgment within it. Rodney Francis, that New Zealand pastor that I was talking about a moment ago, he says this: there is natural perception and a spiritual perception. Discernment, natural discernment, and there's a spiritual discernment. Perception is all about seeing beyond the exterior. It's seeing beyond what one is presented with. So let's talk about natural perception first of all, and then lead us on to a little bit of spiritual perception. So an example of natural perception would be when in Acts 27 verse 10, Paul said when they were on just about to board a boat, they said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." So it's a natural perception. He was stood at the dock. He saw the clouds in the sky. He saw the wind blowing up, and he thought, "Oh, dear gracious me! If we get on this boat, everything's going to be destroyed. We're going to lose our lives." It's very much like a perception. We might go outside and we say, "Oh, look, there's no clouds in the sky today. It's going to be sunny today. There's clouds in the sky tonight. I think it might be wet tomorrow. I better put my umbrella out. I don't think I'll leave the washing out," or things like that. There is a perception where we see beyond what we can see at this moment in time. A natural perception. But then, this gift is not simply the ability to discern things. It is the gift of the discerning of spirits. "We discern the spirits by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit," says Yogi Cho, "judging whether the spirit is from God, or if someone is speaking by the spirit of man, or by the spirit of Satan." So Yogi Cho saying here, and I concur with him, he said this discernment, this spiritual discernment, is that when somebody delivers a prophecy, or when somebody says something, or when somebody says, let's do this, or when there's somebody in the church that is preaching a word or preaching a message, there is a spiritual discernment. Is this from God? Is this from man? Or is this from the devil? Is this Satan trying to deceive us? It's looking beyond the message that we see presented at the surface and saying, yeah, I believe that's from God. No, I believe that's from man. I believe that is from that's from the enemy. I don't think that's from God at all. A spiritual discernment. Now, there is a sense in which we can discern that with a bit of common sense, but also it is a spiritual a gift where it is a supernatural revelation to us that this is God. Now, with all these gifts, with the gift of wisdom, if we were at the home group on Thursday or Tuesday, we were talking about, is wisdom sanctified common sense or not? And somebody said, I don't think we can black and white define it. It's a bit grey sometimes, because sometimes the wisdom that we've got, yeah, is a bit of sanctified common sense. It's not simply man's wisdom, but it's God's wisdom as well. And sometimes with the gift of discernment of spirits, there's a bit of common sense discernment here, but also there is the Holy Spirit anointing that enables our common sense as well, that sanctifies our common sense in discerning. So sometimes it's not always black and white. Let me give you some illustrations about how Jesus spiritually discerns. So Simon Peter, when Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? Peter replied, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Right? So Jesus distinguished, he discerned, he perceived that the statement that Peter made, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was something that was godly, that was from God. But then, a few verses on, Jesus says that he's going to go and suffer on the cross, and he's going to be crucified and what have you. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, said, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of the things of God. Okay, so that statement, this won't happen, never be it over my dead body. No, that's not from God. So Jesus clearly discerned what was from God and what was not from God. What was from God and what was from the enemy. What was from Satan. Now, there it is quite, you know, perhaps that's an easy one. But let's think about Peter's spiritual perception. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered the money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I may lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see, I perceive, I discern that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Now, I think here we have an illustration there of a bit of spiritual discernment, the gift of the spirit of discernment here, the discerning of spirits here, because what Peter sees is not only the fact that he's greedy, you know, give me this gift, so I want to buy this for money and give me this, you know. He doesn't see that there's a little bit of ego and selfishness there, but there he also says, I perceive, I can see that there is bitterness. Now, where does bitterness fall into wanting to pray for people? There's bitterness there. So there's a bit of spiritual discernment there. There is discernment of a spirit of bitterness in Simon's life. Acts 16, which is another one here. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept up for this for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. Now, here we have an example of Paul being able to discern an evil spirit when on the surface, the woman was saying something that was good. These people are telling you the truth. They're telling you the way that can be saved. These people are telling you about Jesus, the only way to heaven. So she was following them around and she was saying that. But then Paul recognized that person was not of God, but they had an evil spirit that was up to mischief. Outwardly, she seemed to enhance the work of the gospel, but Paul was made aware that it was actually the mischief of the devil. Okay, so we've seen some examples of spiritual discernment, some discernment of spirits in the scripture. How then are we going to see the outworking of that gift today in our church? And why do we need to see that outworking of that gift in the church today? Okay, so why is the gift so important? 1 Timothy 4:1 says this: "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Now, it's not the devil is subtle. So when the devil comes in and there's a deceiving spirit, when somebody comes in the church and says, "Well, I've heard from the Lord, and this is what the Lord says, and this is what we've got to do, and this is what we've got to follow," deceiving spirits. We need to determine, to distinguish whether what that person is saying is from God or whether it's from the enemy. You see, what can so easily happen is that someone can come into the church as they were. This is what's happened in history. Historically, someone's come into a church and said, "Well, actually, last night I had a dream, and this dream was this, and an angel told me this, and an angel told me that, and the angel's name was Moroni, and suddenly you've got the birth of the Mormon church." And what it needed was for somebody to say, "Well, hang on a minute, this ain't right. This doesn't line up with Scripture." It needed someone sensitive to the Holy Spirit to say, "Well, hang on a minute, I don't feel comfortable with what you're saying." And the Holy Spirit gives that revelation to say, "Hey, hang on a minute, this is not of God, this is of the enemy." And we need that in our church today, because the Scripture says there will be people who will come into the church who are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, who will sound nice, who will say all the right things, who will appear lovely and beautiful, but actually, they're up to mischief. And they're up to causing trouble. And that sooner or later, they will show their cards and reveal who they really are and what their real motive is. But by the time you've got there, they've hurt a lot of people, offended a lot of people, and pulled a lot of people down. And so often, if you had that gift right on at the very beginning and said, "Well, I'm not quite comfortable about what this person's saying. I've got this funny feeling about everything that they say seems to be right, but I just, in my spirit, I feel something is not quite right." That would be how the gift would be manifest today. And I think it needs two or three people perhaps to gather together and pray about these things and ask for some revelation from God. 1 John 4:1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Yonggi Cho again says this: "Unless we are quick unless we are quickly able to discern and oppose those who enter our midst with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, great harm will come to the flock of weak believers. Unless we're able to discern. Unless we're able to stop. Stop them in the tracks. They will lead people astray and hurt people. That is why this gift is so important. I think it's in, I can't remember which book it's in, but someone was saying, in one of the books that I was reading, it says about that this gift is particularly relevant for those people that live in places where the church is persecuted. Because if you're in an underground church in China, for example, you need to know who the government agent is, the spy that's been sent in by the enemy. You need to be able to discern that. And also in those places where you're not open to be a Christian, you need to discern who the Christian is. So, you know that witness that you sometimes get, you know that they're a believer, even without asking them, because there's that spirit that God has given you to be able to discern there. Okay, what are you doing for time? Okay. I'm just going to very quickly talk about then how we discern a spirit with our sort of common sense, but how also we just need the Holy Spirit to help us. So with our common sense, we can discern whether someone is speaking of God, whether they glorify Jesus or not. Are they really of God? You know, I think we were talking on Thursday home group, you know, we can watch people on the television and say, yes, be healed, be healed, be healed. And they might be on a Christian television channel, but they don't give the glory to God. And they stand up and say, look what I've done. Well, hang on a minute. If the glory is not going to God, alarm bells should be ringing. If they don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives, Jesus Christ as a son of God and God himself, well, then we need to alarm bells ring. One way that we can determine whether a cult is a cult is whether they confess Jesus Christ as Lord, who died on the cross for our sins. Another way we can determine is by the fruit. Are they lifting people up? Does it bring glory to God? Or are they pulling people down? Are they oppressing people or setting people free? So just three quick markers. We'll perhaps talk about those more in home groups, and we'll discuss that more when we get to discuss prophecy in a few weeks' time. So, what is this gift about? It is the ability to make a spiritual distinction, the ability to see behind the outward show. It is there to lead us, guide us, help us, forewarn us, protect us. We have it so that we can more specifically help, understand, and minister to others in the name of Jesus through the love of God within us. Helps us discern. So we talked about people that come into the church with an erroneous message, but also as we pray. What is the in Mark 9:25? Is there a deaf and dumb spirit? A spirit of error, 1 John 4:6. A spirit of infirmity, Luke 13:11. A spirit of divination. There we can just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Is there something that we just need to stand against in the name of Jesus? And another practical way in the church where I would see this gift in operation is being sensitive to that which is not of God. Sometimes I can go into people's homes, and possibly you can identify with this, and that you see an ornament on the mantelpiece or a picture on the wall or some sculpture or whatever. And even as you look at it, you sense something in your spirit is not quite right. And perhaps as you pick it up, and people might say to you, Ian, come round to my house because I feel that my house is what's the, not the word possessed, haunted or something like that. We get a few of those, and I've been to a number of people's homes where they say, Ian, will you come and pray around my home, because I'm not quite so sure there's something funny going on in my home. And suddenly you go in and you see an ornament on the mantelpiece, and you pick it up and you see that it's some African charm that is to some voodoo god or whatever. And someone will chuck that out for a start, because they can be magnets to the enemy. Mm. And suddenly also you might see a picture on the wall, and you say, I don't feel comfortable with this or whatever. And you know, and you take it off the wall, and it looks all right. But then you take it out of the frame, and suddenly inside there's a curse that's been written against the inhabitants of anybody that would live in that home. God has given you that ability to discern and distinguish that which is of God, of man, and of the enemy. Sometimes we can go to these homes. I know that some of you have accompanied me on some occasions where people have asked me to go around their home, and they say, Ian, we're not so sure this house isn't haunted. And you go there and you say, actually, nothing wrong here. And they just need that assurance. And God just gives you that sensitivity, and you go around each room, you pray in each room, and you just have your spiritual antennae alert. Is there anything here that is not of you? Sometimes God might show you something that's an ornament that needs to be thrown out, a picture that needs to be thrown out, or something that needs to be dealt with. The discerning of a spirit. So, Lord, help us in our church to be sensitive to the people that we help. And if we go into their homes and we see something that sort of alarm bells ring out, help us just to be able to, with wisdom, say to that person, I think you need to throw that out of your house, because that's not doing any good. It's not giving glory to God. It's a magnet to the enemy. Help us also, as we practically see this gift in operation, discern people that might come in and go out of this church and come with a message of this and a message of that. Help us to discern whether that's right or not. Perceive. Not just with our natural perception, but Holy Spirit, enhance supernaturally and give us that gift to see whether it's of you, it's of the flesh, or if it's of the enemy. Amen.